Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Lots of Fun via Myrtle Beach, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. So we're going to have a great time tonight on the one and only Pop Culture Stars for July the 12th and 13th. I'm 14th, actually, because as everyone knows, we are also rebroadcast on VOC Nation every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. It's a blast, VOC Nation, with none other than Brady Hicks. So please be there and join us then if you want to repeat this wonderful show. And this is Dr. John Stamey live from sunny, beautiful Myrtle Beach, where the birds are singing, the grass is growing, the waves are crashing, and we're having a great time, and we don't care about coronavirus. It's great. In fact, I just heard, now this was interesting. I'm going to go ahead and give a quick talking point here. I heard on the news that it was published in Sputnik, which is a kind of a National Enquirer kind of Russian magazine, Russian science magazine, that water truly destroys COVID virus. So that's why it's a good thing to wash your hands. Damn it, wash your hands. So I thought that was fun, and that'll be our a talking point a little bit later. And from Jacksonville, North Carolina, standing outside with his Mastiff, with his cigar from Godfather's, and a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, none other than, see, I'm psychic, Dave. Dave Atwell, how you doing?
I'm sitting here checking between my pepper plants to see if you're hiding and staring at me right now. I tell you what, you're pretty sharp, young man. I'm doing good tonight. I spent the day out here cleaning up the hurricane debris, and Mother Nature has been playing cat and mouse with me all week long. Every time I go out here and try to burn off the hurricane debris, it starts raining. So, of course, you know, then there's that dry out period. You can't just wait for the sun to come up, go right on back out to burning, because then you can't burn the wet lumber. So today I got out there and got at it, used some accelerant, and we'll just leave it at that, and got things burning, had a nice breeze blowing that was helping the fire out. So I said, wow, tonight's going to be a good show, because I'll have that wind, that nice evening wind, and it'll blow the bugs away, and hot damn, I'll be in good shape. So for some reason, Mother Nature decided to play cat and mouse again, and now it's still stagnant, and the damn bugs are trying to carry me off the deck and carry me into the woods. So,
I want a selfie of that.
I kind of want to touch on that. Here's something where the other half was really considerate and really an old school thing, because I didn't even know these things still existed. She's like, hey, I know you'll sit out on the porch, you'll burn a couple while you're out there, you'll have your beer, you'll be doing the podcast. So she went and picked up some of those old mosquito coils. I didn't even know those things still existed.
Yeah, dude, those coils are awesome, man. They are good.
And by the way, in case anyone didn't know, that is Todd Saxon coming to us live from Jacksonville again. And we're glad to have him in Jacksonville. How you doing tonight, Todd? I'll do the interview backwards. You doing okay?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. I gotta tell you guys, I had a pretty freaking fine day. Got up a little early, and was out on the water with the neighbor, Frank. Big thanks. Hells of a day out there. We were out in the water before sunrise, got out, just chasing some fish, and it just beautiful day communing with nature, man. I mean, watching, there's, some great birds of prey out here. We've got the ospreys, just spectacular red-tailed hawk, population. Watch a red-tailed hawk defending a nest area against a ton of buzzards that were just looking for places to roost. And, that kind of stuff while out there fishing. And come to think of it, went ahead and had a redfish dinner. Was able to bring home a keeper, and wasn't all that bad. So,
well, that's great.
Went in, got a couple hours of work in, and called it a day. Not too shabby, man. Living large.
Not at all. Well, that sounds great. Now, Todd, one of your buddies from Indianapolis, the Eye in the Sky, is here with us. So I'm going to let you introduce him.
The one, the only, the Tim Armstrong, man of many facets. Tim, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fabulous here in Indianapolis. Pleasure to be on the show, as always.
Yeah, glad to have you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Not really, but I've always wanted to say that.
Well, okay. All right, you can't say it anymore. You're done. Now you can be a frequent caller. Heck with you. All right, but that's good. We're glad to have you. And so tonight, because it has been such a marvelous week on my end, I decided we'd do a roundtable and everybody bring a talking point or two. So I'm going to go in the following order. First time around, it's going to be Dave Atwell. It's going to be Tim. It's going to be Todd. Then I'll wrap up round one. Then we'll go to round two. Dave, the curmudgeon Atwell. Meanest man on the planet. Only guy meaner than the Sheik. The wrestler. Not the Iron Sheik now, but the Sheik.
The Sheik Sheik. Not the I break your back, make you humble Sheik, but the real Sheik. No, I mean, the one thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Wasn't there a song about that? Oh, they call him the Sheik. Oh, no, that was the Street. Sorry.
The Street, yeah. Boogity boogity.
Boogity boogity.
You know, looking at the whole sports thing today, and. You guys know me, big Washington Redskins fan, and yeah, I said Redskins.
What's their new name now?
The Washington football team, which I think Dan Snyder kind of got the last laugh on that because every special interest group was trying to pull, which I found pretty disingenuous. I mean, they all carried on about how it was a negative term for – a Native American, so when they went to go change it, all the special interest groups would say, well, let's name it after this guy. Let's name it. None of them ever went to bat for the Native American folks and said, hey, let's name it another thing that has something to do with Native American culture that can't be condoned as, you know, derogatory. And I thought it was pretty disingenuous. I didn't expect anything out of those type of people, but nevertheless, Dan Snyder kind of got the last laugh. Put the number on the helmet and pulled one out of the damn soccer league and said, we're named Washington. So the wise ass who spent a couple grand on buying all the domain names and the trademarks for all the names that could have been a possibility, he's out of the money. Ha ha. But they announced today that they would be playing football in an empty stadium. They're going to be playing with no fans. And to me, you can't watch any Seattle Seahawks game without 1,400 mentions of the fourth player, that being the fans. So I've been watching baseball off and on. The St. Louis Cardinals, I don't think, have played a baseball game in almost 3 weeks now because of the one guy tested positive. Well, then this guy kind of tested positive, blah, blah, blah. I'm watching.
Kind of tested positive?
Yeah. I'm watching.
Is that like
boxing.
You're kind of pregnant?
Sort of pregnant. That's, you know.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Todd.
Right. So I'm watching how the NBA is a mess. Those guys are just, right now, the NBA, they're not even, it's almost a shoot-around. Baseball is all over the place. They're not playing consistently enough. You got teams that have played, you know, 18 games, and then there's teams out there who have played you know, 9. They're playing the empty stadiums. Hockey is probably the closest thing to being right where it needs to be, but it still is a mess. And
Now, Dave, I'm going to jump in on you. And what about one of my favorite new sports, NASCAR? They don't care. They're running.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR has always been kind of its own beast, though, to a certain extent. And it almost has this individual fan base, so to speak. But, yeah, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking to myself, again, and how many times y'all heard me say this, you never half-ass two things. You whole-ass one thing. And if you're not going to go all the way with it, you won't do it. So I couldn't imagine playing a game of football in an empty stadium. It would be so out of character, I guess. So
now I got a question on that. Do you think those pieces of shit that make up the NFL, because this is what I keep coming to, and it just drives me nuts, they're paid to do specific things.
Language.
They are paid to do specific things. If you're a defensive back, you know, you're there to break up the pass, maybe get an interception, prevent the thing going for a touchdown, all that kind of stuff. So when you get an interception, you're out there doing all this dancing around, but all you've done is do what you're paid to do, your freaking job. So what if every time a cashier at a grocery store closed that transaction with that customer, started doing a happy dance like that crap?
Oh, yeah.
Because after all,
yeah,
that's what they're paid to do. So I just, you know, I'm don't particularly care for the immaturity for starters, but that's me. Anyhow, sorry, first tangent. Second tangent, really. First one was the Coils. Sorry, Dave.
No, you're good. But if you watch, you know the NFL this year is going to be nothing but politics. And to be honest with you, I watch sports to get away from the politics. You know, and I particularly have a very, very, very hard time with a line of millionaires disrespecting my flag and telling me how bad things suck. Any person that works at Hardee's or Taco Bell should just be beside themselves with it, because these guys, and not taking anything away from their talents or the abuse they put their bodies through, but it's still...
You're the abuse they put their body through.
Yeah, if somebody was to come down here and say, hey, Dave, I'm going to give you a black eye and $1.5 million, I'd say bust them both and give me 3. So I don't particularly want to hear about the, we put our bodies on the line. Yeah, and you're also living in a lot bigger house than I am, too. So,
boy,
I
hear a GoFundMe coming on that black eye thing, by the way.
Yeah, and, you know, they're going to show Kaepernick at the beginning of every damn, and then, you know, I got to hand it to Kaepernick. Kaepernick's an absolute damn genius, because this guy, I bet you if you got Kaepernick drunk, he would probably tell you that he's just bullshitting, because every time he opens his mouth, somehow or another it becomes money. He can no longer be a quarterback, obviously. So I've got to have a job, and I don't want to work at Hardee's. So let me just go out there, stir the pot. I mean, he's doing nothing more than what, like, Kanye and a bunch of other people are doing. Just go out there and say something or do something that's going to rub the base wrong way, and all of a sudden you're relevant again. So,
okay.
Somehow or another, his name's going to come up. And when you put all that in one great big pot, it just, for me, it just says suck. And I would feel that the NFL, if I was the lead committee in the NFL, I would strongly be considering the amount of damage we would do with the current mindset that we're going into the season with. You'd almost be better canceling the season, let the dust settle a little bit, and then coming back in August, because we all know come November, if the election doesn't kill the coronavirus, the holiday shopping season will. But I think the NFL, by pushing the envelope and by making a season happen, I think it's going to do them more harm than good, and it's going to piss off more of their fan base and be something. You know, people still talk about the steroid era in baseball, for Christ's sake, and it's been, what, 20 years now? So, you know, it's it takes time to heal, and the NFL seems more hell-bent on creating more harm. So we shall see.
And we still watch The Dark Side of the Ring every week. At least I do. Watching Bash, my big hero, the fabulous Moolah. You know, I mean,
Have you noticed something? All right. None of the MMA fans and the WWE fans have caught the coronavirus. Have you noticed that? Damn, Dana White's been sitting on a show every 5 weeks, man. Ain't nobody from MMA's caught the stuff that I know of.
It's because they're in good shape.
Just a thought.
Well,
just
that's a good
thought.
One. Now, Dave, thank you for your comments there and your contribution to the Knights of the Round Table. And now, Tim, what do you want to bring to the Round Table tonight?
Well, nothing like putting me on the spot here. I've never been asked to actually bring a topic on. I kind of thought about a little bit of a perfect segue from what was previously discussed into. I thought about, and I don't know if we're he did say he was a Washington fan, you know. I am a big football fan. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm looking forward to this season, even though it's going to be different. I know we got a lot of crybabies and a lot of people have put off on watching the NFL because of the kneeling. I try not to let that get to me, although it does rub me the wrong way, same as anybody else. But I'm, as you know, Indianapolis. I'm a Colts fan. Curious about how Rivers is going to do. I was a little disappointed that there's no preseason football. So normally we would have had the Hall of Fame game this last Thursday. And we would be, let's see, no, I don't think this weekend. I think normally this next weekend would be the first week of preseason. I'm not completely positive of that. But anyway, I didn't know if maybe we could spark up a conversation just in general, trying to put all the crap aside and just, if there's enough people with football interest, maybe I could have some help from you fellas and discuss what they think is going to happen. If not, then I got another topic I can bring up. So,
what are you talking about by what do you think is going to happen? Are you talking about,
because
again,
so much-
they touched on it to know, you know, not playing in front of people, how that's going to work. I was straight up serious on that, Tim, when, I asked, you know, are these chowder heads going to be out there doing their little, you know, happy dance stuff because they did what they're paid to do?
Right.
Even though there's nobody there watching. I mean, I haven't heard anybody answer the question.
No, there ought to be something we can do, though, to celebrate a day at work. I mean, hell, we don't get to celebrate anything else. And no, for those bosses out there listening, no, a pizza party doesn't work. A pizza party is an insult.
I want some pepperoni, Dave.
Nasty-ass pepperoni pizza from the worst pizza place in town. I'm not even going to go out and get some damn high-end pizza. I'm just going to go to some damn place that gives you the shits every time you eat there. And, I'm going to
Pizza Hut.
Well, make pizza.
Pizza Hut.
I'm going to toss $40 of the damn millions that I make at this pizza guy, and he's going to bring some nasty-ass pizza in the break room, and this is how we're going to celebrate you killing yourselves and making me famous. So just had to get that off my chest.
I will say this. I'll bring this point, and I hope I don't...
say this, Tim. Say it.
I hope I don't clash with anybody on this, but I had heard something about... Someone tried to make an argument about the owners of the NFL teams, and, well, they're just out to have... They're not going to stop the season because they want to make their money. Well, I call bullshit on that. These owners are millionaires, and they don't need to make a buck. The people that I think are going to need to make the money are, and obviously you're not going to have people in the stands. So you're already talking vendors, those kind of people, those that need that work. They're not going to be there. But you do have broadcasters. You do have cameramen. You've got sports writers. You get all these people that, you know, there's a lot of jobs that go into putting on a sports season that a lot of people don't consider. So it's not just, you know, the fans dying to see football. But you do have a lot of jobs there where people could, you know, they're wanting to be sure they're going to have the income coming in as well. Just kind of throwing it out.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that, because there's a bunch of stuff here off that train of thought, Tim. All the vendors, all the food suppliers, that whole logistic chain with that one, all the parking, all the people that are out there working the parking lots, all that done. You know, the people working the gate, all that stuff just done. What about, I'm assuming the games are still going to be recorded, documented, that they're still worried about, you know, they want to go back to film and stuff like that. So now is Network A that's got this stuff, are they sending less cameras or all that stuff? Heck, I honestly am so detached from sports. Are they actually going to televise the regular season? Because networks paid a lot of money for this stuff.
Well, I absolutely guarantee they're going to televise it. In fact,
So our broadcasters are still in there, that kind of thing, good to go. And you know the sports writers are still going to be there. It'll be interesting.
The support staff, too, you got to think about the trainers and all those kind of guys. You know, just for the record, trainers in the sports world are doctors in the real world. They're just not some guy that got named trainer. They're actually trained physicians that could go have their own practice, so they decided to go with sports medicine. So if you cancel the season, here's a guy who's, you know, used to making seven digits wrapping ankles because he's an orthopedic specialist. And don't expect that guy to sit around for a damn year with no pay. He's just going to go out and practice. And quite possibly somebody will hire him on a hospital, or he'll open his own practice. And when the season kicks back in, he'll say, I'm killing it over here, and I'm not dealing with a bunch of football players. Thanks for the offer, though. And now they're out of luck for their support staff. So that's a thing to consider.
Yeah, I don't think they're canceling, but we can go ahead and play with that. Man, there's a bunch of stuff going on here. I'm trying to follow that train of thought. There was another one, everybody losing their jobs. I was just wondering about the whole broadcast thing, I think, really, because
yeah.
Here's the thing on the broadcast thing. So we don't have the crowd play. We don't have that. So you're going to listen to the game. You're not going to hear the roar of the crowd and all that kind of stuff going on. So that's going to be a little bit different. How hard is that going to hit the viewership? And if that means that, and we know that there's definitely been some people that'll not make an effort to tune in. They may grab it when it's channel surfing, but they're not already, you know, pre-setting DVRs and stuff for games because they're not happy. What about the cost for commercials and stuff? Is that going to drop?
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think that I think that the audience is going to pick up more because you've got, obviously, if you think of the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be that big of a dent. But we're talking, I don't know, 70,000 people in a stadium, in one stadium on any given Sunday. Multiply that by, I know we have 5 weeks, but there's 32 teams, so think 16 games. Multiply that times the 70,000, whatever. Those people can no longer go to a game. They're going to rely on watching it on TV. So if you think of it from that aspect, you could be, you know, prices for commercials
okay,
could actually go up.
$7,000 per market. And we know, here's a good example. You're in the Carolinas.
That's accurate.
That number can't be too far off, you know, 50, 60, 70. Yeah. In this market, Tim, just like where we work, during the season on Fridays, we got a bunch of different people that wear a bunch of different team color stuff all over the place. And we know that there are fans that are not living in market all around the states.
I got to see that damn Kansas City red everywhere.
You do. You see a lot of that. Your deputy's a big Browns fan.
I do. Not saying a word about him.
What about the Steelers fans all over the world? Gee.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I would say Steelers, Oakland, and Dallas are huge everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen an Oakland fan in Myrtle Beach.
Man, I would say those would be the big three because there's, you know, a lot of yesteryear with the Oakland side. The Dallas is just, you know, that whole America team thing. They've got fans everywhere. I know Cat up in Oregon that's a big fan of them. And, you know, we have our annual talks during the season about really as far as the fandom goes, that's that kind of thing. I'm really interested in how the viewership goes. I'm glad you brought this up, Tim, because you know why it's a tangent on it. I think you're onto something. I'm really interested to see how the viewership goes because we know a lot of people too, they might get pissed off and skip the preseason again. I don't know if they're televising anything or even playing those games, or you know they might skip the first 2-3 games of the season, but suddenly they'll be back. Man, I really miss football. There's going to be a lot of that, methinks.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the crowd noise. Now there could be some listeners out there that know a lot more. I haven't done any of my research. Every year I say I'm going to get into it. I need to research and know what's going on before the season starts. And then every year I don't do it. I usually try to get as educated as I can the first week or two of football. I try to catch an article here or there. Now I don't know if there's been any decision made, but I think, and I stress the word think, that the NBA has actually pumped some noise just to give it
right.
a more of a realistic feel.
Oh my
God! So I don't
know
if the NFL would entertain that at all.
Laughter for football games.
Yeah, no kidding. But it was something that, you know, that I was just had rolling around in my head because I don't know if you guys remember the old urban legend about playing in the Meadowlands that the New York Giants, it's been said for years, that when the team is playing towards the ocean, when the away team is playing towards the ocean, they open all the doors on the east side of the stadium, thereby causing a wind coming through the tunnels and blowing footballs back towards the west. And then they close them when the Giants are playing to the east and not to the you know, those little things go on in the stadium. So you've got to stop and think, like icing the kicker, raising hell where the quarterback can't call an audible. These defenses, I expect to see these games, the scores of these games, probably go through the roof because the quarterbacks aren't going to have to be out there doing sign language the whole damn time. They're just going to look down the line and go, hey, guys, We're just going to run an ISO 7, okay? All right. Okay, good. Did you guys get that? Because there's no fan noise. So the play is going to be unique because it's the first time that they're playing the crickets. And like you said, if they pump in crowd noise, you know, does Dallas Stadium turn it up? Does
right.
the metal fans channel it differently? Does it reverberate in the dome more than it does outdoors? Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, that kind of stuff becomes part of the strategy, you know, of the game. And when you're speaking on the broadcasting, they're going to have to cut a lot of the mics off because there's an awful lot of foul language going on that field that's drowned out by the crowd noise. So now you got no crowds out there. And I'm sorry, when you've got 200 guys hitting each other as hard as they can, they don't say ouch. They don't say ouch.
And you can hear, you know, if you listen close enough, when it gets quiet, you can hear the occasional F-bomb or so on live TV. It's hard to catch. And I'll throw this out there too. So we're talking about pumping noise in, but then you got to think of it from the different angle. Colts were actually accused of doing that, and I believe there was probably some kind of rule stating you could not. So what do? Do they change that rule? Do they leave it alone? Do they say, well, we have a rule. You're not allowed to pump music or pump noise in. So what do they do with that, you know? But the Colts were accused of, I don't know, I think it was back when they were still in the RCA Dome because it was loud. And I don't know if it was when they were playing the Patriots or what, but they were accused of pumping additional noise in the RCA Dome because it was so dang loud.
Yeah, they're not the only team that's been accused of it.
Right, I'm sure of it. And here's to play on what Todd was talking about, or I think it was you, Todd, I don't know. But if it's completely quiet, and I'm sorry, I'm biased, Indianapolis fan, can you imagine Peyton Manning? And I know you guys got to know his play call, whether you're that big of a fan or not. He would get up there and rattle off the weirdest crap, and just everyone's like, huh? But his team knew exactly what he was talking about. The genius.
Yeah,
heyday with him. Yep.
Very interesting to see how they, and I will say this, the referees are probably going to have the best season because they'll actually be able to leave a stadium safely for the first time because they ain't have no fans out there waiting on their ass. But
Well, let me ask you this. Some stadiums are more well-known than others for their tailgating stuff, although it's pretty far and wide a thing. Will there be some of those regular season ticket holders and stuff like that? Like, like the old Buffalo Bills, the way they had set up their rules and stuff, they were one of the first ones really to encourage your tailgaters to go big. And they got guys that set up, like, booths and stuff.
I'm going to tell you, Todd, I had gone to some back in the heyday of NASCAR, back in the 90s when Earnhardt and all those guys were still going at it. I had gone to Rockingham several times to see the Coca-Cola 600 and the other one that ran at Rockingham. I can't recall which one that one was, but nevertheless, there were guys out in the parking lot that had RVs and moved an entire entertainment system. I mean, they had televisions, they had speakers, the whole nine yards, and they sat outside of the racetrack and watch the race on TV. So, in other words, they paid nothing but parking and enjoyed the same race because you can hear it live, but you're watching it on TV. You got the best seat in the house. You're sitting right there in your RV or outside of it. You're cooking. You're drinking. If you got to pee, you don't have to stand in line. The beer is free because you already bought it. So that's a very interesting point, man. You might see some tailgating just going off the rails where they're camped out inside of the stadium and they got the RVs and they've got everything set up and they're partying their asses off, you know.
Which
so,
shoots down the thing for your referees. That might still be ugly for the referees.
Yeah, they still might have to dress and drag and get out of there. Except for the one female ref. She can just walk around.
Look what you started, dude.
There's some guy right now with an RV going, honey, we need to buy a 90-inch screen TV for football season.
Well, you know, that's insane because I didn't realize how big frickin' screens had gotten. I had my mind blown that you could pick up a 32-inch high-definition smart TV for $130, $135 with extended warranty. I was like, wait a minute. They were, you know, y'all remember how much that stuff cost when it first came out. There were people with early, you know, when we were trying to figure out if we wanted plasma screens or this or, you know, whatever. And
couldn't lay them down. Yep.
The whole nine stinking yards. And this craziness of you can go, again, a 32-inch high-definition smart TV, all this interactive stuff, for 130 bones. And, you know, remember those first ones were costing, what, roughly $2,000, and they were probably 20-some inches, mid-20s,
well,
if that.
I remember when I bought my first 50-inch screen TV. First, and truth be told, we bought a projection. One of the first things me and Dale bought together on credit as a married couple or as a couple was a projection screen TV, and I think it was a 48-inch is what it was.
I remember those. Rear projection.
It was a monolith, you know. And I remember getting it, and when I told Sergeant Major about it, first thing out of his mouth was, oh, well, your lights paid up, you got the water bill a month behind, why? Yeah. You go out there and buy this big-ass TV, you must have money rolling all over the place. And it's funny now, I've got a 55 here in the house. We got 55s, you know, several different spots. And people walk into my house and they look at a 55 and go, damn, man, you guys all right? You need me to throw a couple bucks at you? I'm like, what? The 55, the thing's huge. I can't imagine going back watching a console.
Now, check this out. There's a guy Tim and I both know, and he may not realize he does this. Our boy in Missouri, Daryl. You know who I'm talking about, Tim?
I do. Yep.
Okay. So he's got this thing where he'll see people throwing out their TVs, and he knows generally that it's a small portion of the board that is their power supply. And so what he'll do is he'll grab it. He'll spend like $20-25 on a power supply, and he's effectively getting brand new high definition TVs. And he said his daughter was like, Dad, no more. He goes, but honey, I just got a 62-inch TV fixed up and running. And she's like, no, we don't need any more TVs. I got one in every room and stuff like that. So it's just hilarious that here's a guy doing this stuff, probably could be making more money on it on the side. And, I mean, even his kids are like, please, no more. I don't need another freaking TV. That's pretty awesome.
So what you're saying is with these TVs, when he gets them, like, it's because what's gone out is the power supply, so he just orders a new one and then replaces it? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he's basically got a handful of them on hand. Yeah, go ahead. Go bug Daryl. I know you want to know how, Tim.
Oh, I'm sure I could figure it out. I took vocational electronics. I was I was a robotics major for a while, so I could probably figure it out. I was going to touch on what you said, though, Todd, about the 30-some inch smart TVs, because you and I had chatted earlier. When we started working from home, I went and
but
I got
Tim,
one.
Tim?
I had it delivered.
Tim?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask you to hold on for 10 seconds, and I want to say thank you to VOC Nation for having Pop Culture Stars on Friday nights beginning at 5 p.m. Thanks, Brady Hicks, and everybody from VOC Nation. There's our plug for VOC.
Yeah, but, hey, big love, Brady. Big love.
CC.
And so, continuing what I was – what I was saying, Todd, is we had discussed it before, I think, but those TVs, those smart TVs, they're cheaper than monitors. I got a 30-some-inch smart TV, and I use that as my monitor for working at home.
Yep.
Yeah. Well here's a – boy, people are going to find out how lazy I am here because Tim knows this is how some of the conversation started. So we started doing this teleworking. And I'm like, man, I want the TV in my bedroom at night because just the equipment we get to work with, we bring home, is a laptop. Nice piece of equipment, but it ain't got much of a screen. So you want extra monitor stuff. And at the time, they've been way cool. They've given us the monitor options since then. So just so we don't make work look like a bunch of wankers. But I got tired of moving a new current, mind you, it's a number of years old, but high definition, you know, ultra slim screen, 32-inch TV, really not that heavy, really not that awkward to move or any of those things. But I got so lazy that I got tired of doing that. So I went and bought a brand new, 32-inch TV, and it was really an accident. The wife was visiting. It was why I was on vacation last year near New Year's, and I was going to do a little bit of work while I was on vacation, both to keep up so that I wasn't overwhelmed when I came back and to save vacation time. I'm cheap that way. So we went to go look at monitors, and we looked at monitors, and we had just walked past the TVs, and I was like, wait a minute, this monitor is the same price as like a high 40-inch television, low 50-inch television. What the heck is wrong with that, people? Is that not
the same? Well, it's because a monitor, because a television is nothing but a monitor now. Anyway, they're not
televisions
anymore.
So why the hell is the monitor so expensive?
Because they can just price it higher and get more money?
Well, I think some of them are made specifically for the gaming public, where there's more, how do I want to explain it? It's a caveman explaining nuclear physics when I'm talking about it, but it sometimes video games move too fast for the television to accommodate the movement, if you understand my meaning. But the monitor.
Okay, so then you don't want a
bit rate, whatever they call it. Yeah,
then,
and the
then,
monitor.
Then you don't want a feed.
Yeah.
That's
so if you're watching movies on
you
it,
want the eye,
it's so
not the feed.
Right, but if you're playing Call of Duty on it and you got to keep moving around real fast, it's able to keep up with the speed of the movements of the video gaming community versus a regular TV that, you know, can't or does, or they, as they call it, lagging or glitching or whatever. I think that's got something to do with it, but I couldn't agree with you more. And it's funny, I was doing some cleaning out this week, and came by an old computer that I had in storage where I had put in a closet, left it there. I'm here to tell you this monitor probably weighed upwards around 40 pounds. I mean,
right?
This damn thing was huge, and I'm going, jumping Jesus, man, I could take my laptop and throw it into a backpack and not even realize I've got the damn thing. And you know, this monitor, that computer couldn't have been no more than 20 years old, if that. And, yeah, that thing was a monolith. I mean, when I threw that thing in the garbage can, all the garbage went right on down the bottom, made all kinds of damn room for me. But,
oh, yeah. Dude, seriously, I kid you not. You may want to watch it here locally. I think there's some recycling rules, just throwing it out there. The, but my part of my point was with that, if you were talking about what a brick that is. Dude, that 32-inch TV that I was moving is pretty much featherweight. I mean,
yeah.
Some of us can remember those old, I think we all remember the old vacuum ray tube televisions to start with. But some of us remember the big consoles that they basically could substitute as a friggin' dining room table.
Oh,
we
yeah.
had growing up.
Dad used to put all his Marine Corps stuff on top of the TV because we had the console TV, and he'd put all of his, you know, Bulldogs and all that kind of good stuff on top of it. So, you know, when the advent of flat screens came out, all of a sudden you had to find somewhere to put that shit.
Yep. The boy did a number on the old entertainment center sales, right? With the flat screen TVs.
Oh,
yeah. The
yep. Well, people mount them all the time now, and I'm a nervous wreck around here mounting a TV with the amount of Freedom Thunder we get. You know, from the Ospreys flying over and all that kind of jazz, I just do not trust wall mounts. I don't care how many damn, I don't care if you lag bolt the thing to a damn stud in your wall. I just hanging a damn 60 damn inch TV up on a wall when, you know,
oh, no.
all the pictures.
And, for those that
you know
don't
what I'm
get
talking
it.
About,
what Dave is saying is we have a rather large rotary wing community here. And
38 feet across.
You get a lot of impact tremors, a lot of impact tremors. In fact, some of you may have heard in the background the noise going by. And I've been away long enough, I was like, man, is that a 53 or is that an Osprey? The So I was trying to sort off if there was an MV-22 or if there was a CH-53 that was going by. But yeah, you get those impact tremors, and I don't know, Dave, so much for you, but I think you would, given your location and some of the stuff. But we'll get impact tremors here from artillery as well.
Yeah, well, when they're firing out there in Verona, it's And Todd, you'll be, I'm sure you'll verify what I'm about to say. Part of housekeeping in Onslow County is the constant straightening of pictures on the wall. And it's no joke. I mean, it's the absolute thing because between the overhead, I know we lived in Paris Island, it was all the jets. Because that was, they didn't run a lot of helicopters down there with all the Phantoms and that kind of stuff.
You had Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort right there.
Right. And
which was theoretically, that was the scene of the great Santini.
Absolutely. One of the greatest films ever made, sports fans. Damn right. That was a great movie. Still is Duvall. I love Duvall. Can't get enough of the guy. But, yeah, I don't know, you know, and they're making these TVs now. I mean, I haven't looked at TVs since I left the club. I don't get out much these days, thank goodness. That was the whole idea behind retiring. But when I left, we had 90-inch screen TVs for sale. 90 inches, folks. Hey, 96 inches is 8 feet. I don't even know if we got 8 foot of bare wall in my house. To be quite honest with you, and if you buy a 90-inch TV, just how the hell far away from that thing have you got to sit to be actually to see the damn thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I could not imagine an 8-foot damn TV sitting in my damn living room. I mean, that's a drive-in. Maybe I mount it to the side of my house and I just pull my truck around or something, but...
Well, they got all those projectors that do all that stuff for you to do that. I mean, that's insane. I kid you not, they were high 80-inch televisions. I couldn't imagine it. And like you said, the first thing my thought was, God, my eyes are bad enough now. I wouldn't have anywhere in my house to actually put that should I be dumb enough to go spend money on it.
It looked like Marty Feldman trying to watch the damn thing, your eyes roll around.
Pretty much. That or, what was old boy in the Adam Sandler thing? I was talking to the squirrel over there, and it was a freaking mountain goat.
I got to throw out real quick. What was the movie? You mentioned putting the projector in the side of the house. I got to think, what was the movie? Was it something about the babysitter, whatever, where the girl, she takes the projector and puts it up on the house, and it's her babysitter and her boyfriend getting it on in the bedroom, and she projects it on the house. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's a movie from, like, the 80s. Really? I swear there's a movie from the 80s where the girl, she's getting back at her babysitter, and she takes the projector outside and puts it up. I can't think of it. All right, never mind.
Although one of my favorite, I guess, and I didn't even know it had been redone, but the original Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
Had a rather prolific, has now become a rather well-known actor. And his name's escaping me. Help me out here. He was probably...
Jonah Hill, you talking about the babysitter? Jonah Hill?
No, Adventures in Babysitting. The original was the old boy that played Thor... was Private Pyle, the Bug, and in the Daredevil series.
Yeah, D'Onofrio, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
D'Onofrio. He was Thor in the original Adventures in Babysitting.
No kidding.
And then the next time we saw him, he was Private Pyle.
Private Pyle.
Or at least the next time I saw him.
Private Pyle, that would break my heart. I miss Arlie. He was great.
Met him when he was at the air show here.
Yeah, class act, dude. Great guy. Talking about the 90-inch screen TV and 80s movies, I actually, Dale had me out popping tags the other day. She was in the market for a bench to have to lounge out here on the deck with. So whenever we had the spare time, she was taking me to every, secondhand store and flea market in Onslow County. And I found a $2 copy of Weird Science.
Fun movie.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, man, an 80-inch screen or a 90-inch screen TV with Kelly LeBrock on it from 1987, that would be an investment. Yeah.
Oh, man, the whole bar scene.
Oh, God, yeah. he kicked him in the nuts. Broke my heart in two. That ain't all she broke.
Yeah.
He's in the Malaccas, Dino.
Yep. Great. Oh, man.
Wow.
What a fun movie. For those, if you haven't seen it, I imagine today that would be fairly not politically correct, in particular the bar scene. But there was some funny stuff in that movie. There really was. There were just, oh, my God. Old boy is Anthony Michael Hall was there, supposedly hammered, coming back from drinking and stuff like that. What's old boy that just passed away a few years ago was sitting there. How would you like a nice greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? As he's playing
Chet, you're covering yourself.
And when she turned Chet into the pile of shit at the end of the movie, oh my God!
And it had the damn crew cut. God, that was funny.
Oh, hell yeah!
That movie
was great.
Funny story. Well,
they'd
though,
love it in Portland, wouldn't they?
The is I met Anthony Michael Hall last year, right?
You just recently reposted that.
Yeah. It was funny because me and my brother can just about do the entire script. So one of us always starts off. Somebody says something wise-ass, and we quote a line from Weird Science. And I don't know if you guys could hear it. I'm getting invaded right now. There's the vibration. But I showed them at the event. I was like, hey, look, that damn one's flying low. Hey, did you guys get in?
Oh, you're breaking up, dude.
That's the sound of reason.
I can hear it.
I showed him all the text back and forth of me and my brother, right? So he says, where's your brother at? And I says, well, he's in Florida. He was supposed to be here, but he couldn't. And the stars didn't align right, and he couldn't make it out here. And he says, well, man, we got to send him a message. And I says, well, he goes, let me see your phone. He hands my phone to his handler, and he says, all right, we're going to make a message to your dad, to your brother. And I swear to you, the guy turned into Gary. Like
he did. Yeah. He did.
And it was hilarious. I couldn't hardly keep a straight face the whole damn time. And by the time I got done talking to him, I thought to myself, all he did was play himself in Weird Science. Because he is a total grab ass. Great guy though, man. Had a good time meeting him. One of the great 80s flicks, even.
Yeah, the fact that he sat there and just chose to be silly and stuff like that. We've got some stories. Who was old boy that was the zombie that had been killed by more of the lead stars than anybody? We were at that small con. And,
oh, you're talking about Kyle. Michael Costa.
Oh, dude. And that whole, the whole going down the bowling alley into the pins.
Yeah. He had Mike Becker so pissed off when he did that. And I don't blame Mike because he had to go back and re-oil the lanes and the whole damn 9 yards. But funny. Oh, God. I mean, this guy went ahead first into the pins.
And I had nothing to do with it because I did not say, I triple dog dare you. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and he didn't baseball slide.
I triple dog dared him.
He went head first. And for those of you who have never picked up a bowling pin, those things ain't no joke. I worked at a bowling alley for a year and a half when I was a teenager. Damn things are heavy. Yeah, he went head first right into it. I don't even know how he got down that far because the oil on the lanes, if you make it 5 feet.
It took him a couple tries, if you remember.
Yeah.
God, oh, fun. God, I can still hear his skin of his face as it went across the lane as it slowed down the momentum. That. True story. This, oh, God, yeah, this, seriously, we were at a small con. We had a dead spot in the day, and things went sideways. Oh, my God. And then Garion was like, I can do this. I'm like, no, you won't. You'll get arrested. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's,
did he get arrested?
My call, man.
No, Garion didn't do it, so he didn't get arrested.
Well, that's good.
The, oh, my God, no, that was fun. Oh, my God, that was such a fun event. That was, oh, Lord. Yeah, as I recall, Dale had concerns about my health and Garion's health at the show, and the good news was Yuki was sober and became our driver.
I was going to say, you guys were enjoying yourselves. That was the day I was there.
That's a true story. Dude, I think I was hammered. Hammered by 1300.
Yeah,
that was a fun show. That was a fun show. Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's just, yeah, the people you meet and the things you do, and it was just, and it was funny. I just dropped into the role of instigator. I crippled dog dare you. Boom, he was down the alley. And the chick that was his handler was freaking. She goes, I can't believe you did that.
He was a trip anyway. Kofsky was, I can understand why his claim to fame is playing the zombie. Because, I mean, he fit the bill. He was an ass clown in a good way from the start. Great guy, though. And incidentally, one year ago today that I got the phone call about Dango.
I tell you what, for those of us that have a beverage, let's go ahead and raise one to Dango, because you know what? We can tell some stories about Dango that are just unreal, just a hell of a – he was such a real guy, such an approachable guy. Dango, we miss you, brother.
Yeah, man.
You did good, dude.
He was the guy that lit the fire under my ass with my writing, because I had written the first book. As a matter of fact, believe it or not, Todd, we are coming up on the 6-year anniversary of my first book release at the end of the month here, on the 26th. And my second book came out on December 10th of the same year, 2014. And the sales were tepid. And, you know.
Well, now there's a good word, tepid. Yeah.
They weren't warm. They weren't hot. They weren't non-existent. They were tepid. And
God, it sounds like my sex life.
Yeah, break out your thesis for that one, you know. But I had really starting to kind of get into the old and Todd will tell you, I'm probably my own worst critic. And there's this voice in my head that is the meanest guy on the planet. And all he does is criticize me. He doesn't criticize anybody else.
Dave,
so,
to be clear, when you say there is a voice in your head, you're a master of understatement, because I'm sure there's more than one.
Oh, yeah. Multiple voices chewing my ass right around the clock. It's always motivating, you know. But I had really gotten to a point there in January and February where I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. And it was Chrissy Leslie who got hold of me. And she says, hey, did you see what Dango said about you? And I says, huh? And she says, Dango, what he wrote on Facebook? And I says, no, I didn't, because I had kind of crawled into my shell. I wasn't on Facebook or anything. I was just kind of sitting there rocking in a fetal position, wondering why I'd done with my life. And he got on there, and he had just, and I still have it on my phone, where he got on Facebook and said, man, I enjoyed the hell out of these books. If you get a chance to read these things, blah, blah, blah. And here he was, Walking Dead alumni, and Walking Dead, favorite show at the time. And I just sat there and I said, holy smokes, you know, this is not somebody family to me telling me it's good. This is somebody who was a total stranger up until 4 months ago. And this guy actually has some credit. He's just not trying to save my feelings. He's on there genuinely speaking about it. And next thing you know, the Rocky music started playing in my head, and God, I wish he was still here, because
People, those of you that don't know Dango, he had he'd gotten some breaks in acting and gotten some roles, and you know, theoretically was on the edge, and he got called home, but he was so real and so very down to earth, and this is, I guess, kind of weird third party way. This is one of the ways, one of the things I love about Dr. John's events. Because they're all up close and personal. They're not the mega events where you're at freaking Disneyland in line for hours at a time and stuff like that. I ain't saying there can't be a crowd and stuff like that, because Lord almighty, that has happened. I invite you all to Wilmington a number of years ago, because that was a little bit of something when that one happened. But you're sitting in there, and you get to meet these people, and you're up close and you're personal, and it might be a second or third time getting to hear their speech or whatever, their routine where they do it, and then you remind them about a story that's not there, and they're going past people to grab you and say, dude, thank you for reminding me about that one. I completely forgot about it and stuff like that. And it's just like just a guy, or they'll catch you as you're walking down the line. There's a part of our group, I guess, knows that I will make a particular cookie that I try to bring to the shows. And That recipe is proprietary, and I've shared it with those that have asked. But I make a Mocha Kahlua white chocolate chip cookie. And you'll be walking down the thing, and I'll have shared it with some of my smaller folks, if you will, and they've shared it with some of the bigger folks. And the bigger folks ask where you got it, and I'll be walking by and talk to them because I didn't necessarily, you know, felt worthy. And they'll be like, you're the one that made the cookies, right? Man, those were the best cookies ever. Really, dude? They're just cookies. They're like, no, really, that was a good cookie. It just, they come out from behind their booth to you. And that's the thing about these events. That's the way they work. So don't give up on this crap, Dr. John, because these are the way these things happen. I can't, you know, we can tell a ton of stories. One of my favorite.
Well, now listen, now Todd, hold on. I got to say something about that. The fact that I am holding 3 events this year, one was online, 2 of them are going to be outdoors in the middle of the coronavirus. I don't think I'm giving up. I mean, I don't think I can do any more than that. You know, I mean,
I didn't want it to sound negative. I'm just saying.
No,
John,
I'm just saying.
Thank
you, Clayton, Georgia. Thank you, Kingsport, Tennessee, for letting me hold the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, because they have fans that will come out anywhere in hopes of seeing Bigfoot. And so, I mean, you know, this is the best I can do. No more Comic-Cons until 2021, buddy, even if we're lucky, honestly. If we're lucky, we'll start having some. I mean, I'm reduced to doing a car show this year. Come on. You know, I mean, I'm trying to keep the dream alive, but it's, you talk about difficult. Whoa. Or, whoa.
Oh, yeah, most deaf. But I'm telling you, for those that have not got to go to one of Dr. John's shows, I'm telling you, it's a whole different thing. Because, you know, there's people that, look, I still mind boggled on so many levels. We were at one of the Wilmington shows, and I get a tap on the shoulder towards the end of the evening, and I get a wholehearted hug, real hug, and it's Cassie Page. And I'm like, who the hell am I to deserve a hug from her?
Oh, yeah, she's a sweetheart. She's a great singer. I don't know. She's not a singer anymore. I think she's an actress now, so I mean, you know, she's
well,
she's still something.
Still,
she's great.
She's still doing singing. She just, I mean, woman of talents.
Yeah. And
I'm pretty sure I just saw something recently released. She's just unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And she got awards under her belt, all that kind of stuff, and it just. I'm like just a guy helping out is the way I'm, you know, viewing myself.
And she plays a werewolf. And now, Todd, she plays a werewolf now. She's awesome.
Oh, she does. She does. She's expanded her repertoire.
And
she's got. Yeah, she's with Ron Rausman and his team. We talked about that last week. That whole dude. Remember the Jacksonville convention when he took over the whole MC thing?
Hey, oddly
yep.
enough, after the show last Wednesday, about 20 minutes later, I talked to him online and talked
Who,
to him
Ron
live.
Rossman? He,
yeah, and told him, I said, hey, man, we were talking about you tonight. Hope you don't mind. So he wanted to send a bunch of hellos and well wishes towards the show and everything. And he's same old Ron, fighting a good fight. Good man.
Yep. Oh, speaking of fighting, good fight. Can I go ahead and make an announcement that I'm dying to make? Because I haven't had a chance
Please.
To talk about my. I haven't had a chance to talk about to mention my topic. May I please do that?
Dr. John, in case you don't remember, it is your show.
That's right.
That's all right.
And you said
I'm just here for the ride.
No, I got to tell y'all something. You remember it got out that I was mysteriously having a lunch meeting with Maestro about a month ago. That mysteriously got out on Facebook, right?
I know. Okay.
All right. And Todd, you even asked me, you said, oh, I heard Mission Barbecue. I think it's pretty good. And I thought, golly, Maestro, why are you telling everybody? I hope you didn't tell everybody what we were doing. And he didn't. So tomorrow night.
No, he just said lunch. He just said lunch and where.
Yeah, and he did good. He didn't say it. So I'm gonna go ahead and since I lead this show sometimes, I'm gonna go ahead and announce it. We got a brand new point of contact for the wrestling world. As if we don't have enough. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
About 6 months ago, Shane from the Cauliflower Alley Club, we were talking on the phone, and he actually said to me, John, what's your wrestling Mount Rushmore? I had never heard that phrase. I said, oh, it's Gorgeous George, Ric Flair, the Fabulous Moolah, and the Sheik, and the American Dreams on there too. So there's five. And he loved it. Y'all remember the Sheik. I love the Sheik. Eddie Farouk. Anyway, so what I did was I went looking around at some trademarks that didn't exist. And so now you can go to WrestlingMountRushmore.com and you can vote. You can put in your Wrestling Mount Rushmore of all time, current professional, and current indie. And at the end of the year, we're going to total up the votes and do the official Wrestling Mount Rushmore for the year. It's kind of
a
popularity kind of. Yeah.
You just said current,
current.
So it's got to be people in the game today.
Well, no, we have three categories. We have current professional, current indie, and all time. Okay?
Oh, I like it.
And I want everyone to go vote. Go to WrestlingMountRushmore.com. Vote in all three categories. Yes, you have to put in your email. Yes, you got to put in your first name. And yes, you got to put in your zip code to help us know what we're doing. And the chairman of the advisory board, it'd be hard to guess who that is, wouldn't it?
Oh, none other than.
None other than Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. And I just have this soft spot because his great uncle invented exhibition wrestling. His great uncle, Gorgeous George, did the whole thing. He invented the heel. He invented the storyline. He invented the valet, which was his wife. And he was, honestly, he and the Sheik are tied for being the most hated wrestlers in their heyday in history. And you know what? It took a lot to get those crowds so mad that they would stab. They stabbed Gorgeous George, and the Sheik. I mean, they almost ran him out of town when he pulled up that fireball. You know what the fireball was? It was a piece of mesh with lighter fluid on it, and he had a lighter. He'd pull it up, do it, and boom. And the fireball would hit. Referees got burnt. Everybody got burnt. I mean, you took your life in your own hands when you were in there with the Sheik. And, I mean, it was great. And so this is a throwback and a current deal. And next year we're going to add tag team. We're going to add a lot of other categories. But I want people to love this and enjoy it, because we really don't have a popularity contest. Now, we do have PWI, Professional Wrestling Illustrated. You know, they talk about the greatest, and that's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, the people got to have a vote. And everybody gets 5 votes, and we're going to pick the top 5 vote-getters. And I have voted. I need Dave Atwell to go to WrestlingMountRushmore.com. I need Tim to go to it. I need Todd to go to it and tell your friends, because it's important to me. It's what we can do to honor those that we really like. And I'm going to tell you what, the older I get, the more I like professional wrestling. And that's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that I can keep liking it better and better and better. But it's the one thing, it kind of pulls us all together, because as kids, okay, Dave, when you were a kid, did you watch wrestling? Yes or no?
Oh, most certainly.
Tim, when you were a kid or teenager or whatever, did you watch some wrestling on television?
WWF, yes, sir. Hulk Hogan, Ratty Piper, yep.
Oh, that attitude era crap, yeah. And Todd, did you watch wrestling
God.
On television?
Oh,
I did.
You guys know I go old school with stuff that would have been, in today's world, it would have been televised indie.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to meet a lot of people. I want to bring a lot of joy and cheer to. You know what? Wrestling fans never die. They just keep watching The Dark Side of the Ring and listening to In the Room with Brady Hicks. That's what wrestling fans do. We got it. We just got to do it, because it's something that we love. And, you know, whether you, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for some of the new guys, but they're great. And don't think that Owen Hart wasn't one of the best.
Dude, Tim, if you don't realize this, we got I think I told you a little bit before that one of the old WCW super studs is one of our con mates, and man, we've done many a family event together, stuff like that. The
are you talking about the one and only?
Yes, the one and only, the Papa Stro, the Maestro Wrestling. The here's a couple quick stories on him.
All right.
One of my favorite is we were all Dr. John, Papa Stro. My family, we were all at the family of one of the guys I recruited into the Marine Corps that's here locally for Thanksgiving. And one of my favorite pictures of all time is Papa Stro sitting on the couch with Nick and Jess's daughter, and they're sitting there playing a video game, and it is so everyday, so low-key, so cool. So track this fast forward to a Comic-Con type event, and Stro's got his table there, and doggone if Avery is not just comfortable and happy because it's Papa Stro, and it's her friend, and it's her buddy, and it's a guy who played video games with them. She's sitting on his table, chatting him up, at the event, and it was just, how awesome is that? That's just one of those things. So
yeah, that's a great picture. And I tell you what, I just want all my friends here to know it. Please go vote this year, and we want to have a great turnout, and we're going to have some interviews. It's going to kind of morph into something that's kind of fun. It's going to kind of be the pop culture stars of wrestling is what I think it's going to be. And I want all my friends, when we engineer this podcast, you're all, well, everybody's a co-host. It's a co-host on any of my podcasts, and I got four of them. So if you're a co-host anywhere, you're a co-host there.
I'm going to assume you have a secondary adjudicator. And if anybody, just me be me, an outside secondary adjudicator, I'm thinking Steve Logan.
Well, I mean, right now, Steve is always welcome, Professor Wrestling. We love Professor Wrestling. And I even bought him that domain name. Steve, of course, can come on. It's just everybody that loves wrestling like I do. And the older I get, the more I like it. The more I like those, I think what really tripped my switch last week was when I was on week before last or whenever it was, when I was on WCW Retro, and I was the guest, and I was telling all my stories from when I was an announcer with the Italian Stallion, and you know what? People liked those stories. I didn't know people would like my crummy old stories, and talking about our awful television show, and people loved it because we were the worst. We were in a way we were very good Professional Wrestling Federation, but we were the worst. We were truly the local grassroots promotion in Charlotte with the show that was on at 2:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, Friday night, and it was on Channel 18, and it was the worst show, and it was the worst show, and we're gonna redo it. And Stroh said he would play. I had the Stallion on one side, I had Brutus McNasty, the Breeze, on the other side, and at the end of this crummy show, they'd get mad at each other and start beating each other up. But since I was in the middle, I was the one that got beat up and fell to the floor every week. People loved it. It was that show. It was the worst thing you ever saw. But it's something, and
I like
that between that,
that
and that
stuff.
And being thrown in a coffin and taking a big plate of metal to my head and all this stuff. I mean, I love that. Oh, and the best thing, guys, the defining moment of my life, and I'm going to admit it right here. It is not my first date. It is not my last date. The defining moment of my life was when the Bloodseeker put me in the Cobra Clutch in the middle of the ring in a bingo parlor in Akron with 400 people watching. That was the defining moment of my life. Poor Dr. John, right? That was the greatest moment. I mean, that was, you know, it's like you can't describe 400 people yelling and screaming and pulling for you to get out of the Cobra Clutch. It was just, and you know who the Cobra Clutch really is attributed to, don't you? The Sheik.
I do.
I mean, so it couldn't have been any better. So I'm sorry. I'll shut up. I had to kind of like tell you guys what I wanted everybody to know. And please go to wrestling around MountRushmore.com. You can spell it either way, and it's there. And so please go put your all time, put your current year, put your current professional, current year indie, and you can see a picture of Susan Tex Green. She was a beautiful girl when she was 29 years old, and you see a picture of her. You see a great picture of the gorgeous one who invented exhibition wrestling. And we got a lot of folks to honor, and it's because I love wrestling. So everybody knows how much I love wrestling. I'm going to shut up now. Somebody talk.
The sad thing is we are crunch time at 5 minutes and change of getting
out of... That's supposed
to
be my job, John. That's okay.
This
we got 5 minutes, so everybody gets to do.
Minutes.
Now, everybody gets to have 1 minute, because if I say 1 minute, we'll fill up five. Well, everybody gets 1 minute of a plug. So I'm going to start with Dave Atwell, then we're going to go with Tim, who's our guest. I hope you'll be back. And then Todd. Dave Atwell, what have you got to plug?
I know we touched on it earlier with Dango, man. Again, here's a guy that it's easy to be jealous of. I mean, the guy was a bodybuilder, comedian, firefighter, actor. There wasn't a whole lot that he didn't do. And he had the looks, he had the hair, he had the physique, he had the whole nine yards, but you're not going to find a more grounded, personable, humble guy who always thought about somebody else before himself. And today's the one-day anniversary that he, the Spirit Horse came and picked him up. And I miss him. I miss his motivation. I miss his friendship. And, you know, like I said in my Facebook post earlier today, I just hope he saved me a seat up there. And Dango, I know you're listening, motherfucker. ride solo, baby. I miss you bad.
Yeah, Dango, we love you, brother. We love you. It's you humbled the bunch of us.
Most of them.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thanks for that remembrance. Tim, what have you got to plug?
Well, I guess I've already given a shout-out to my wife, Kim. Love her so much last week's, but doesn't always hurt to do that. Always love the United States Marine Corps. Love working for them. But one thing I did want to mention was today I want to give a shout-out to I took the kids to a miniature golf course. It's called Birdies, and I lost my glasses there. I called them back, and they went out and searched the miniature golf course and found them for me, and I appreciate that. They were very nice about it, and, you know, not a lot of people will do that anymore. I love that course. It's unique. I've got, I guess, a minute or so here, so I can't go into too much detail, but they've done a great job. They put some couple twists in the course. I love it, and that's all I got.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's a great plug. It really is. And thanks for that one. Todd, the British lady will yell at me. So, Todd, what have you got to plug?
The friends, neighbors, that kind of thing. The I had a really great day in the water that I led the show with, doing the whole circle back thing. Marcia, you let Frank spend some time with me. I know you had lists of stuff for his honeydew thing to do. Frank, you and I got to spend some hours on the water this morning, just being happy, civil, and just being out there and being people and enjoying and communing with nature. Friends and neighbors, when you can do those little things, man, it just means a ton. And it just sat out there and just had such a beautiful day. It was really something. It was take those little moments and don't forget them. Don't forget them, and don't forget the people that gave those moments to you. Just saying.
Amen.
That's a great one, Todd. Thank you. And I'll say, everybody, go to visitmountrushmore.com and vote for your and put up five. Up to five of them in there. Visit MountRushmore.com. Please go do it.
Oh, that sounds awesome, dude.
Mount Rushmore Wrestling would be pudding, jello.
Just love being part of the crowd. Dave Atwell, thank you. You're the best. Tim, you're an awesome guest. Todd, thanks for being the best. And I'll say, sayonara.
Oh, not exactly an English lady thing, but I get it.
We'll
big
see you next
August
week
people.
On the one, the only. Pop culture stars. Take care.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Bye. Bye.